There are two publicly funded broadcasters on this island, RTE and the BBC. But what would happen to them if there was to be a united Ireland? Would BBC Northern Ireland be subsumed into RTE, or the other way around? Would public service media even survive? Or would there have to be a new public service media organisation created to reflect the new cultural and political landscape? Those are some of the questions which academics from DCU and Ulster University examined in a report being published today called Public Media Ireland, a new public service media organisation for a new country. One of the authors is Dr. Roddy Flynn, Associate Professor at the School of Communications at DCU, and he's with us now in our studio. Good morning and welcome. So we're going to ask listeners to imagine for a moment that a vote for a united Ireland has passed and it's time to decide what to do about RTE, the biggest media company in the Republic of Ireland, and BBC, the dominant media company in Northern Ireland. You think the right thing to do is to get rid of both of them and start something new.
Yeah, now by get rid of, we don't mean that we would tear down Montrose and go to Ormore Road and just get rid of the BBC. So the basic, I think, you know, physical infrastructures and assets, equipment assets, and in particular, I think the human resources who are the heart of both organisations would remain in place. But the organisational infrastructures that are there, I think probably wouldn't be appropriate for that new dispensation. And if you think back, you know, to, it's 100 years of RTE. In 1926, the structure for 2RN, the state-owned structure, seemed appropriate for where what that nation was in 1926. Here we're talking about a completely new nation, and it seems like a good idea to sort of take a blank slate approach and to say, right, given what we're looking at now, something made up of two historically divided communities, what kind of democratic structures do you need for that? And our starting point in thinking about public service media is that it's absolutely a constitutive element of the operation of democracy. It's not something you think about after you've figured out the economy and education and healthcare. You probably actually do that first because that's the space in which you talk about all those other crucial issues.
And funded how? Through direct taxation?
Through direct taxation. Our preference is for the YLE model in Finland, which is incredible. I mean, it's a roughly the same population as Ireland, 5.5 million people.
You pay based on your level of income.
You pay based on your level of income, but it's capped at €163 per person. And if you don't earn less than €14,000, you don't pay anything at all. So it moves up in a scale. It's also, by the way, applied to corporations. I should say that.
And you say that a new public broadcaster would have to reflect the totally changed demographics on the island, the cultural and ethnic background of everybody who lives on the island. So what would a new public broadcaster do that's different to what is currently being offered by RTE and the BBC?
That's a good question. And to be honest with you, that maybe is more detailed than we have looked at in the report. It's maybe not so much what we would do as the how we would do it. And if I might talk about governance just for a second, I mean, because it relates
on that point. I mean, for example, you take something like Irish language programming.
Yeah.
How would that fit into a new public broadcaster, which would have to accommodate everybody from across the island?
Well, actually, we don't see TG Cahir, for example, disappearing. I mean, you mentioned at the start there are two publicly funded broadcasters on the island of Ireland. There are actually loads, because it's not just RTE and BBC, it's TG Cahir as well. But actually, just about every broadcaster on the island of Ireland is to some extent publicly funded because of the Sound and Vision scheme, which is available on a 32-county basis. And actually, we would see that kind of thing probably being expanded. And you also have the Ulster Scots Fund operating in the UK. You've got Irish language programming occurring there. We don't see that disappearing at all. I mean, if anything, we would probably see that being valorised in a way that maybe it isn't at the moment.
And then in terms of the governance and the structures, I mean, where would a new public media organisation be headquartered, for example, and how would it be run?
I mean, first thing we would think about a more decentralised organisation. So the kind of the focus at the moment on Belfast and Dublin, we can't see that disappearing. There has to be some degree of centralisation for logistical reasons. But we would see, for example, at the level of journalism, we had this notion of, you know, 10 journalistic decentralised journalistic hubs around the country, one in Athlone, and then kind of dotted around the landscape.
But does that actually make sense? I mean, ultimately, under any you know, news is often centered where the center of power is. Mm. So, you know, news is dominated by politics and courts, and those happen in the capital city. So how would you decentralize your news coverage when you have to cover those things?
Well, you'd kind of use the resources that already exist, but bluntly are not used that much. So, I mean, RTE would have eight, you know, local news correspondents dotted around the country, but they're only really used when there is a story which is deemed worthy of national attention. Why isn't that something that's done on a more daily basis? Why haven't we had local opt-out broadcasting in Ireland since 1926? It was a brief experiment for 1 year, 1927, and that was it. So, I mean, but also the question kind of assumes that that centralisation in Dublin and Belfast is an ipso facto good thing. We've been discussing for at least 50 years, report after report, talking about the need actually to kind of to move away from a, in the Republic of Ireland, a Dublin-focused both economy, but also kind of, you know, socio-political structure. This seems like maybe an opportunity to think about doing that.
Mm. Okay. And how soon then do you think? I mean, you say that the question of a public broadcaster, that would need to be resolved pretty soon after a vote for United Ireland.
I mean, yeah, I would have thought we would need to make a decision. We've outlined five ways of, you know, possible ways of doing this, and we have plumped for the option of basically starting with a new structure. This Public Media Ireland is what we decided to call it. But I think you would want to have something like that in place, let's say January the 1st, 2035, for random date, was the date that we actually switched into a new, you know, single unified Ireland. I think you would want that new broadcaster in place within weeks, because, again, that is the space in which those two new communities are going to have to work together.
Dr. Roddy Flynn, Associate Professor at the School of Communications at DCU, thank you very much for coming into our studio this morning. It's 7:30.